Hello, everyone. Before we get started, I really wanted to take the opportunity to thank everybody for listening and give a special thanks to our latest Patreon backers. This week, we actually have one new backer to thank, and so I would like to give a hearty thank you to Jack Engel. Thanks, Jack. Your support means more than you can possibly know. If any of you other listeners out there want to support the show via Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/theeldritchhour. There are a number of associated costs with producing this show, so any amount, no matter how big or small, really goes a long way to keeping the show running. Of course, many of you may want to support the show, but may not be keen on committing to a monthly amount. This is perfectly understandable. So a link to my Ko-fi account is provided in the show notes alongside our Patreon, so for the simple price of a cup of coffee, you can help the show out. No matter the amount, your support seriously means the world to us, so thank you. Now, let's get on with the show.
Welcome, dear listener, to the Eldritch Hour. We are a horror-themed tabletop roleplay podcast containing violent and mature themes. Listener discretion is advised.
On the last episode of The Star on the Shore, having spoken with Reverend Sarton, Sterling and Charlotte left the chapel and continued north to visit the old witch house, supposedly one of Rockport's historical locations. Upon arrival, they met and spoke with Adelaide Proctor, a self-proclaimed witch, determined to uncover her family's heritage and arcane knowledge. She warns the pair of the cult's inability to comprehend what they have done, and that the Order was responsible for bringing the Star to Earth. Private Investigator Thatcher and his young companion Amos resolve to make one last stop before returning home after their events in the tunnel. Arriving at the butcher shop to pick up the Order that Phyllis tasked the group with retrieving, the duo learned of more strange events in the town from Mr. Windsor, owner of the shop. He spoke of disappearing cattle and their farmers, and how he himself had been invited to join the mysterious order, but ultimately declined their offer out of fear that the society was up to sinister affairs.
I guess Char will just, you know, thank her for trying. I didn't write anything else down in my notes to, like, be like, what's the next form of question that I would want to ask? Right.
Sure. Yeah, she just looks a little frustrated, but says, well, you never can judge these things, and spirits, well, they never let you have any expectations. Maybe next time.
Do they often not speak like this? Like, are there many days where you don't hear anything?
Well, I think that is not necessarily any of your business, but...
Oh.
They have been quieter as of late, yes.
Do you think it might have something to do with the star that was called?
And she kind of puts her hand to her chin
for a moment and looks just kind of off into the distance and then says, "You may be onto something there, dearie, but it would be hard to prove, yes?
Maybe.
I guess we just have to wait.
Till the star is gone?
Perhaps. If those fools know what's good for them, and get rid of it. If they even know how."
I like her little old woman voice. Her little old woman laugh.
Well, it is getting late, Adeline, so we'd hate to keep you any longer. I do appreciate your trying.
Yes, very much appreciated.
Oh, don't mention it. Happy to finally have some folks here who actually believe that I can do what I preach. Most of the time, people want to throw rocks or stare and point, make jokes, ridicule. Well, when one calls themselves a witch, especially in these days, not exactly favorable in the public eye now, is it?
Well, you're favorable to me, Adelaide.
Why, thank you. And she does like a small, very rough curtsy.
Well, we really must be going. We do have to stop by the butcher shop on the way home.
Oh, yes.
Oh, going down all the way down to the Griffin Butcher Shop, eh? That's a hike. On foot?
Yes, our car broke down on the way into town, so we're hoofing it, as it were.
Well, I mean, you'll get no ridicule from me. I walk everywhere whenever I do leave the house, though sparingly. But, you know, there is always the trolley.
There's a trolley?
It's a trolley.
Well, of course. You didn't hear about the trolley?
No, we didn't even see a trolley.
Huh. Well, you better keep your eyes open there, dears.
I think we better had.
She laughs and then stands up. I guess she would already be standing. Yeah, she laughs and then kind of just leads you towards the door back to the main living room and follows you in there. She extends a hand to take the teacup from you, Sterling, and says, "Would you like a small bag of the leaves to go? I make it all the time."
I mean, if it's not too much trouble, sure.
Oh, not at all, dear. And she goes back into the kitchen. You hear her rummaging around, and she starts humming a little bit to herself.
You hate that tea.
Comes back out with a tiny little comes back out with a tiny little like burlap baggie drawn with some twine, and hands it over to you.
Your hospitality knows no ends. Thank you very much.
Of course, of course. If you do find your statue, I'd love to set eyes on it in person. If you find yourself in my neighborhood again.
Maybe. We'll see if we can make that happen. We have to figure out what it is first.
You know, someone who would possibly know more about it, perhaps even its origins, is Old Man Douglas. He lives out in the woods. It's a bit of a trek if you don't know where you're going, but you won't find it on any map. Keeps to himself, even more than me. Completely lives off the land, that one.
What makes you so sure he would know if he's so far removed from the town?
Trust me, it's worth the visit, and you'll know when you get there.
I see. Whereabouts?
Well, would we have to go just past all the open quarries near the Granite Company, It's on my side here of the street, but you'll have to wander past them and into the woods and, well, just hike straight east. And you should run into it, or some of his, shall we say, security measures.
I see. He's a bit paranoid, is he?
Just knowledgeable, that one. Knows what to be afraid of.
What sort of security? So we can better prepare ourselves.
Douglas has the finest in homemade booby traps.
I gesture down to my small, weak frame. Do you really think that, you know, I'm equipped to trek through a booby-trapped forest?
If you want to find your statue bad enough, I think you'll find a way to make it, honey. Trust me, talking to Douglas would be worth it.
Well, we will see what we can do.
Very much appreciated.
She bows just slightly and smiles and gestures towards the door.
Let's go, Sterling, before it gets even more late.
Agreed. Thank you very much, Adeline.
You're welcome, dears. She closes the door pretty gingerly behind you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we just head back into town. Start the long trek.
Can we keep an eye out for a trolley?
Yeah. So as you exit, it is dusk. The mist still has not let up. Thick as ever, and now in the fading light, it's become very difficult to see ahead of you a ways. But obviously you know the road you came on, so if you're following that straight, it should be no trouble at all getting back.
That's the plan.
Alright, I'm going to, I think, fast forward a bit if you're not making any plans to pit stop along the way.
No, I don't think so.
All right.
Unless you really want to do something.
Are you talking about the butcher shop or the home?
I meant anything between the witch house and the butcher shop if your plan is to go to the butcher shop. We can cut that journey out now.
I was just going to the butcher shop, so.
So as you round the corner from Railroad Street onto Main, and you're walking down, looking for the signs on the buildings through the fog, can you give me a listen roll from both of you?
36. A 40.
Ooh. Excellent.
Ooh!
My God!
The dynamite had no effect, apparently. I'm back to normal, baby.
That tea, man.
Oh, the tea. Wonders. Cleared my sinuses right up.
As you're walking a little bit slower now, trying to make sure you pay attention to the signs, especially in this, by the time you've gotten back, it's almost dark. And you suspect, though, like, with the amount of time that you've been out throughout the day, that it shouldn't necessarily be night yet. But it is dark out. And
does it seem like it's because of the fog, or just even more dark than we feel it should
be? No, it seems like the sun is gone, and the fog is also there.
Good vibes all around.
Yeah, and as you're walking a little bit slower, Sterling, you pick up on it first. You very clearly hear some sort of mumbled conversation ahead of you, but like the two people are whispering to each other, and they almost sound like agitated, like it's maybe some sort of disagreement. You can't make out the words at this distance. It still seems like they're maybe a few buildings ahead, but like very clearly there's two people having some sort of conversation at lowered volume ahead of you. And then as you get a little bit closer, Charlotte, you hear as well. You could hear the voices. You couldn't quite make out the tone.
And is this just up the road? Like, if we keep going, it'll.
Yeah, it's kind of echoing down. It's kind of echoing down the street just a bit.
Yeah, I guess carry on.
Yeah.
All right. You make your way down, and as you get closer, you can see in the lamplight the Griffin Butcher Shop sign, and the voices stop. You don't, as you get to where you think they were, which is also coincidentally in front of the butcher shop, there doesn't seem to be any people standing around. There's no figures in the fog or anyone standing directly in front of the store.
Did you hear that?
I did. Did you hear what they were saying?
I didn't quite catch it. Hello? Is anybody there?
Give me another listen roll, Sterling.
Ooh, wow. On fire.
Doing great.
Nice. Regular success there. All right. You hear a little bit of scuffling. Almost as if somebody's dragging something through, like, bushes. You hear a couple branches, like, snap or brush against each other. Maybe some leaves under tow. Just around the corner from the butcher shop.
Like, down further down Main Street, or like between buildings?
You think just past the butcher shop on the side of the street, so on your right hand side of the street, not between buildings but beyond.
Yeah, I'll walk towards it curiously.
Sterling, be careful.
Hello, are you there? There's no need to hide.
You hear something like, oh, shh, and then the rustling stops. And you're staring out into just thick fog and blackness. And the lamplight only provides so much right in front of you. Beyond, you know, that is probably just woodland. You can't really see given the mist, but there doesn't seem to be any movement or further sound.
What was the... I forgot to take notes. What was the name of the guy who lives in the woods?
Old Man Douglas.
Old Man Douglas.
Douglas, is that you?
Sure, I was just like, it was Douglas.
Yeah. Do you hear nothing?
I heard you shush your partner. What? Do you really think that... You're hiding very well.
It's quiet. And the tension builds as you just stand there and wait for an answer. And then you hear a low whisper that you barely can make out. And then, go! And you hear somebody scrambling off into the wooded area ahead of you. And then at the same time, you hear someone starting to scream and run, you think, in your direction.
From the bushes as well?
Yes, from the bushes as well.
For fuck's sake.
Sterling!
What are you doing as this... Just
where am I at the moment? Am I on the road still?
You are standing on the road, just at the edge of the walkway, at the corner of the shop, staring out into darkness, basically. And you know somebody is yelling, running at you, as it's getting closer. And the lamplight has not provided enough light because of the fog. Mostly, it's just making it too reflective around. Like, you can't get a visual ahead of you.
Does it just sound like a battle cry?
Yeah, someone, okay. It's definitely a male voice, and it sounds very angry and just almost meant to be intimidating.
I'm going to I'm gonna crouch down and grab a handful of gravel.
Oh shit.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I think
I'm gonna
you'll
stay
have time
crouched,
to do that,
by the way. I'm gonna stay crouched. I'm not standing back up.
Okay.
I'm...
Sure, yeah, you move down, grab a handful. Charlotte, what are you doing? Because you're standing basically more right in front of the doorway
right.
of the butcher shop. I imagine you kind of stopped as Sterling like walked towards the
right.
corner and started yelling out. What is your reaction as you all of a sudden... You didn't really hear the rustling away in the bushes, but you've heard all of a sudden, this
obviously
yelling.
I hear the battle cry, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would immediately try to like run into like the alley between buildings, like to get to a safe spot, like basically like either get into like run, not abandoned, but like just like either run into the butcher shop like if it's open, or like try to get around the corner behind the building. Essentially Char doesn't have any sort of fighting expertise in any way, shape or form, so her first instinct is to flee. But not flee,
okay.
But like hide.
Sure. All right, as you, are you making your way into the butcher shop? Are you attempting to do
I
that,
guess,
or are
yeah.
you heading towards
I,
the
yeah.
opposite side of the building?
I think it would probably be faster for her to, like, immediately just try to open the door and run in. I feel like she's closer to the door of the butcher shop than she is to, like,
sure.
the other side of the building.
As you reach, you, like, step forward, reach for the handle, you notice actually that the door now is cracked as you turn the handle. It's two pane glass, which is a little bar in between attaching it to the frame, and the whole upper portion is completely cracked and broken. But it does swing open as you wrench it free. And Sterling, a figure starts to become visible and is heading straight for you out of the darkness, wearing some kind of robes and maybe a mask. You can't tell. It's impossible to make out a face of any kind, but you hear this just guttural yelling, and you realize that a fist with a dagger in it is raised above the figure's head as it's charging towards you.
Great. Yeah,
Sterling, doors open!
I'm gonna throw the gravel in my hand at its head.
It's
and
dumb head.
Attempt to sidestep. How close is it actually before I start like doing crazy shit?
Since your field of vision was pretty short, I would say it's only a matter of about 5 feet ahead of you.
Okay,
so.
Yeah, that was what I was hoping. Yeah, I'll throw the gravel. Is it in a dead sprint? Like, is it just like coming for me? Because that would
yes.
be great if
oh,
it
yeah.
was. Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw the gravel at its the head. Try and blind
okay.
it.
Can you give me for that first? Can you give me a dex roll, please?
Sure.
Oh baby.
Success. 55 out of 60.
Excellent.
Oh no. didn't know I had to beat two values.
All right. The gravel leaves your fingertips and you hear it make purchase as several little tiny thwaps hit this figure's face, and you turns into an ah, and the figure skids on the gravel in front of you. Can you give me that dexterity roll, or really a dodge roll specifically, if you're trying to also sidestep at the same time?
Oh, okay, that's not a great value. I'm gonna. Oh man, I
Sterling,
so
no.
want to push this, but like, I also don't want to get murdered right now by just some accidental dagger wielding maniac. Pushing on a 30 feels bad.
Yeah.
I think we just take our lumps. I'm already crouched, and we'll just see what happens as I try to.
Sure.
Maybe
all
he'll
right.
trip over you.
Then I will make a roll as well.
The gravel worked, everybody. The gravel's working.
All right. The figure skids, and you attempt to start to get out of the way, like standing up and also trying to sidestep at the same time, just quick enough to get out of this now kind of shambling person. As they're barreling towards you, now blinded. And they trip over your leg, and both of you go tumbling onto the ground.
Yeah, hopefully in different directions.
Did he drop the dagger?
We'll find out after I come back.
Time.
I'm going to cut to the other
No!
So, Amos and Thatch, you find yourselves back at the Woods house. You've brought the lamb to Phyllis. You've had a little conversation about Amos wanting his secrets kept secret between him and Thatch. And Thatch, in all fairness, divulging a little bit of his line of work and his true intentions to basically go monster hunting after his experience in the war, using a detective agency as a means to this end. And you've resolved to, after maybe developing a little bit of photos and making a phone call in the morning, to go back out. What are you going to do in the evening time while Phyllis is cooking dinner?
I had no real plan of action, I don't think.
Yeah, okay. I had no real goals besides developing some film.
It's been a rough day. My face hurts.
Dinner, waiting for everybody else to get back.
All right. Well, I imagine, given our timetable, that you two would have arrived before the two of them would have made it to their current destination. So let's fast forward then a little bit, if your plan is to just kind of relax after your crazy day. Phyllis has finished cooking and has brought out the lamb, called down to the two of you to come upstairs to the dining room and get yourselves a hot plate. And she notices as you're both making your way up, she says, have the other two not returned yet? I don't know why I'm British there. Been listening to Joey talk in British accent, so now I got stuck in my head.
My bad.
No, you're good.
I thought they'd be back.
It appears not. Yeah. I'm a little surprised. We should probably go looking for him, huh?
Where was it they said they were going? The barn?
Yeah, Charlotte said she was going to the barn, and I said I was going to the cemetery, last you guys knew.
We already went to the cemetery looking for Joey. Or, sorry, Sterling.
What time is it currently?
I would say, yeah,
it's dinner time.
It's not all that late. It's probably only about between 5 and 6 o'clock, which is why it's okay. A little bit surprising that it's so dark out already. You two would have noticed that it was kind of getting towards dusk as you left the butcher shop, and, he was about to close anyways when you got there, closing hours at 5, but it wouldn't have taken you very long to get back. It's by the time she's cooked dinner, it's maybe 6 o'clock now. But it is pitch black outside.
Not so late to where I think we need to be too concerned, but the next hour or two. Does it normally get
so
dark this early? I'm saying that to
Phyllis. Turns to the window there in the dining room and looks, like, kind of pulls the curtain to the side and looks out and says, oh my, no, actually that's rather odd, isn't it? You'd think it was 9 or 10 o'clock by now. I hadn't noticed I'd been in the kitchen so long.
Let's maybe just eat real quick and then maybe take a stroll for him, see if we can find him.
It's hot land.
I mean, perhaps why they'll be back.
Yeah. I wouldn't think it's too much cause for worry right now, so.
Right. It's still early, like you said.
You sure they know where they're going? I mean, I guess they have the map, but that I gave Sterling this morning. But it's awfully dark and hard to see with the mist out there. Hope they don't get lost.
Yeah, me too. What size do we got?
she starts carving off some lamb, like.
Yeah.
she's carving off some lamb as she's saying this and fixing a couple plates for the two of you, and says, "Well, help yourselves. I'll be back with a couple of the sides in a moment," and heads back off into the kitchen.
Well, Amos, when we do go out looking for them, bring your camera.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently that's a very effective weapon these days.
I don't go anywhere without it.
I'm going to need to invest in one of those. Do you have a spare?
I do not have a spare now.
Keep it protected then. I'm going to need that.
As you're sitting there eating this delicious, just moist and tender lamb leg.
So good.
Sarah comes up the stairs and just, you hear a, I love it when Phyllis cooks lamb. And she says, "Well, I see you two are already hard at work. Where are your friends?"
With a big mouthful of food.
Shrug.
And we'll take a cinematic cut back to Sterling rolling on the ground.
Fucking hell, dude. The whole time I'm like, they got fucking mouthfuls of delicious lamb and I've got like a face full of gravel.
Like, it so quickly shifted to now.
I was just going to say, it's perfectly changed tones here from the two of you having a nice tea conversation while they're getting beat up by some monster in the depths.
That's true. I do love Rod's, like, he's like, "Well, we might as well eat." It's so good.
Sterling is on the ground, this robed figure scrambling next to him on the sidewalk. Charlotte, you've gotten yourself inside. What was your immediate action after you opened the door and got inside?
Well, I was hoping if I got inside, I was hoping there would be somebody there to be like, "Help." But did I hear the stumble that happened? The weird.
Well, we'll have you notice a number of things.
Okay.
So you scramble in a small panic and kind of look around for help immediately. And you notice that there is a table knocked over directly in front of you. Several utensils on the ground. Sawdust covers the floor everywhere. Some of it soaked with blood and like dried up and clumped. And you notice a small light is on in a room behind the counter. But it's dimly lit. The light must be somewhere deeper inside the room. You can't make out much detail, but there doesn't seem to be anybody around inside the butcher shop.
Can I just yell help and see if anybody responds?
Sure. Yeah. You yell out and there's no response comes back from inside. And right after you yell and kind of wait for a response, that's when you hear the scuffle outside and of the two of them struggling on the ground.
Okay, if that's the case, I would whip around and go back outside to see what happened.
Okay.
Do I notice any weapon on the ground?
On the ground outside or before you leave?
Outside. Like, outside. Basically, I'm looking to see, like, Char doesn't know he had a dagger. I'm asking you, outside of Char, is the dagger on the ground?
Yeah, you scramble outside, and in your view is Sterling on the ground, on his side,
scrambling to get to his feet, I assume, is what your next action is going to be, Sterling. You're going to try to get up, or
it depends on what's going on.
The other, there's another figure there now, in full robes, in full dark blue robes, laying face down, but like very obviously pushing in the process of pushing themselves up.
Can I push him over while he's trying to?
Well, I was going to say, I'll answer your first question. Give me a spot hidden roll to see, as you're kind of trying to just take in the whole situation, if you notice a dagger on the ground.
Real bad. 72 out of 46.
you don't notice. Nothing catches your eye other than the man trying to get up and Sterling.
If that's the case, can I just push him over? Like, you know that, like, when they're trying to stand up and you just push somebody over and they just, like, can't get back to their feet?
Yeah. We'll come back to resolve that in a moment. I would like to know what Sterling is in the process of doing. So you basically would have landed on your side, kind of, like, slash back, and this man landed face down.
You'll say, what else do I see anything from my personal perspective, being like up close on him more than what you described for Charlotte?
You can see that it is in fact a human. Like his face kind of turns towards you as he's like pushing himself up. But his face is completely painted over in black. So you only catch eyes and a mouth, like, as he's kind of like his mouth is agape a bit, and like he's kind of gritting his teeth at you and like scrambling to get up. And you don't notice that, like, there's no dagger in his hands as he's working himself off the ground, and he looks like he's basically headed towards you again. So
can I make a spot hidden for the dagger?
Sure.
See if I notice something glinting in the night.
Nope.
Would you like to spend luck on that? You can spend 7 luck if you'd like to pass.
I meant luck when I said push. Yeah. I will spend the luck.
Yeah, I feel like that's the worthy time.
Yeah, you realize just between the two of you, and you're only maybe 3 or so feet apart, the dagger is on the ground, basically center between the two of you.
Is it apparent that he knows where it is, given that I, like, pseudo-blinded him? Or has he, like, got his gaze locked on me specifically?
Right. I was going to say, I think in all that you're trying to take in at the moment, you wouldn't be able to tell that, given that his face has also been painted over. It's hard to really make out where he's, like, his expression or where he's, like, looking, like, and you've just, your eyes have fixated on the dagger at the moment. So, I'm not gonna give you that information just yet. So,
If he's, you said 3 feet apart. So if he's a little farther away, then I will. So that means the dagger's probably like a foot and a half, 2 feet from me.
Yeah. So it's within reach, but obviously he's also almost immediately within reach of you. So,
sure. I think I'm going to roll over to the dagger. So I'm not going to waste time standing up. I'm just going to try and roll over to it, because I don't care if he gets to me. If I'm holding the weapon, I think I win. So, I'm going to roll towards the dagger and try and grab it.
All right. Give me a dexterity roll to see if you roll well enough in that direction. Or mostly within, like, you roll and then are able to scoop up the dagger as well. And after he does that...
Yeah, I'm not necessarily... By the way, I'm not looking to, like, do anything flashy in terms of, like...
Sure, yeah.
Dazzlingly have the blade at the ready. I just want to be the one who has it. So...
Sure. Okay, give me that roll.
Hell
ooh,
yeah!
Ooh, baby. 32 out of 60.
Excellent.
I'm scrappy.
I will resolve that success in just a second. Charlotte,
yes.
You are attempting to push this man over.
Yes.
You're like running up.
Can you give me a strength roll with a bonus die, since he is not paying attention to you at the moment?
Yes. Let's go. 48 out of 65.
Excellent.
Dang, you're strong as heck. You're like twice as strong as me.
I'm so strong.
So,
is your attempt, because basically where he's positioned is between you and Sterling. And Sterling is now, obviously you're not going to know this at the time that you're pushing him, but Sterling is making his roll towards the man. Or, right. And you're obviously pushing
this
guy.
My goal would be to push him towards the other side of the road. So across the street from the butcher shop, essentially.
Okay,
away.
So are you approaching him then from the front of him and like kind of pushing him that way? Or are you pushing
from
him
the
on
side.
The sides?
Yeah, on the side. Okay. So like the idea is okay. Like while he's standing up, I just come over and just like fucking just knock him in the side.
Sure, okay. All right. Well then,
just
yes,
body drive
Sterling,
him.
You, Sterling, you roll and manage to like right yourself right over the dagger, snatch it, and at the same time, this guy's gotten like halfway up. His like his arms have left the ground, and then he just goes tumbling past you on the side, back down onto the street, and lets out a oof. And we're back to you, Sterling. What is your next move?
I want to stand over him with the dagger pointed at him.
All right.
I'm going, I don't know, you know, I guess it would be an intimidate. I don't know if that's like...
I'm not, no, I don't think... well, if your intention is to just make him stop...
Yeah, I'm going to say something, and that's the physical action I'm doing. I want to stand up.
Okay.
Over him, since right. I guess yeah. we're all really close now with the dagger in hand, like right. threateningly.
Sure, yeah. What are you saying to him?
I guess I'm pretty winded probably as well, given that I like, you know, fell over and like have been scrambling on the ground and I'm all dirty and shit. So I'm probably just it's probably not going to be the perfect complete sentence, but I'm just going to stare at the only thing I could see on his face, which is his eyes, as he hits the ground, and I'm just gonna say, "You're beat. Stay down, Yankee." And I'm gonna hold the glinting dagger in between us.
Sure. Give me an intimidate roll, and I'll allow a bonus die on this because you do actually have the upper hand at the moment, him being prone on the ground there.
Okay. I don't know that it will help me, but here we go.
Ooh.
Yeah, no shot. It's a 50 out of 15.
15.
Well, it's better than the 90 you would have gotten, because that would have
been.
Oh, does
it show me? Oh, it does, yeah.
Yeah. All right, yeah, you hold the dagger out, and then he actually reaches up to slap at it. So can you give me a dex roll to see if you manage to move it out of the way in time?
I will spend the luck on that.
Okay, perfect. He also massively failed his roll, so yeah, he goes to wave it away, and you just basically just pick it slightly back and then just put it down again. Are you
do you think I'm that stupid?
All right. At that, he yields a bit and puts his hands up. He's like, okay.
First of all, who the fuck are you? And I'm gonna like speak with my hands, given that I'm yeah. holding a knife.
Sure. he looks back, and then he looks over at Charlotte, looks back at you.
None of your business. Just let me go. Just let me go. We'll forget the whole thing.
What happened to the butcher? Char just comes running up.
He denied us. He got what's coming to him.
What was that?
None of your business. You're not from around here. You don't belong here.
So what makes you think you don't deserve the same fate for attacking another member of the Order?
You're... What? I don't recognize either of you. You're not from the Order.
I finished speaking with Sardin moments ago.
We just came back.
Bull.
You could go ask him yourself if you want to.
You think I just guessed that name? You fucking idiot. I'm gonna slap him. I'm slapping him with my offhand.
Beautiful. All right. You want to roll me 1d3 damage?
Sure. Oh, man. Just one. More intimidation. I'm not trying to kill the man with my slaps.
Yeah. He frowns, and then his eyes widen a little bit, and he's like,
"You're serious. You spoke with Sartan."
Of course.
Absolutely.
And he made you members, just like that.
We're already members.
We'll be attending the next meeting.
Well, then you know why Old Windsor had to bite it. He's our next sacrifice.
Do you just attack people in the dark all the time who wander up on your crimes?
If you're a member, you should know how it works by now.
Your friend didn't seem to agree. He ran off into the woods. Afraid.
I told him to take the body while I dealt with you.
Get on your feet. I'm gonna take a step back.
Okay.
Give him space to stand.
Yeah, he kind of scrambles up and takes a couple steps back.
I think I'm in agreement that we'll forget this ever happened. But should it happen again, I don't think you'll be standing up so nicely. I'm going to keep the dagger, by the way. I'm going to, gesture that I'm not giving it back to him.
He kind of looks you both up and down and then spits into the ground and just says,
"We'll see how Gabriel feels about you threatening other members of the Order.
You threatened us first, sir!
It's alright, Shara. It's alright."
He starts to step back more, and the mist is starting to come between the two of you.
"See, I believe your friend could use some help carrying the body. And I'm gonna head back, in the opposite direction so we both lose sight of each other."
All right, yeah, he continues to back off and then disappears. And then you hear some footsteps make their way through the grass, and then a couple branches snap, and then he's gone.
I'm gonna drop the knife and start shaking.
Sartan, are you okay?
Oh my God, Shaw, did you see that?
You were amazing.
I don't know what came over me.
Maybe it was the tea?
Oh, this tea is incredible.
With that, I think we'll cut back to the other two.
I actually feel dizzy in real life after, role-playing that moment. Like,
it was amazing. I still love that. I slap him.
Yeah.
You idiot.
That one just felt like a thing that, a real person wouldn't do, but, Sterling thinks a tough man might do. So
what would Thatcher do in this moment?
Probably none of that.
Yeah, so you've had your meal, and just a nice, very casual, very mostly quiet chat with Sarah. She just kind of rambled a bit about the errands she ran for the day, and Phyllis has come in to start picking up some of the dishes and says, "Should I make some plates for the other two? They can have them when they come back."
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, by all means, Phyllis, save them a plate.
Yeah, we should. Sure. We should probably go look for them.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll head out.
All right, well, yes, then I'll just leave them a couple in the kitchen here. Don't let them sit too long or they'll go bad, though. Don't want that meat to spoil, but yes, let them know that they're welcome to it. And she goes off to the kitchen with the rest of the dishes. Sarah says, you're going back out. Okay, well, I'll leave the porch lantern on then. I'm gonna retire to my room and maybe read a little bit. Had a long day out, so I'm pretty tired.
All right, good night, ma'am.
She walks up the stairs and goes to her room. All right,
I must.
Where are you two headed?
Handy camera. I guess we'll head down the street.
Where's the VW? That's where you wanted to kind of go, right? As we're looking for them, head that way.
Yeah, I figured it's somewhere down there.
Yeah.
I know the dude gave me directions.
Oh, actually, yeah, like you don't know. So you don't exactly know where it is. Yeah, no, Colonel Hall said that it was along Main Street by the shoreline there. With your original meeting earlier in the day, he didn't give you specific directions. He just told you generally where it was. So, yeah,
well, we knew Char was going to the barn anyway, so we could head up that way.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so up Mount Pleasant, that'll eventually run into Main Street, or so we're told.
I don't remember. When we were at the cemetery talking to Lump, did we find out that Sterling had already been there or no? I don't remember.
Yes. Yeah, he had spoken about how Sterling wanted to know about crows and then told him that Sterling had told him to tell him if he saw the
about
dead.
The rising dead, too. Yeah.
So, yeah, you know that they, at least Sterling had made his way to the cemetery and had already been and gone. And the only other location you really had knowledge of was that Charlotte was going to go look at the barn. So,
yeah, I guess we'll head up towards Main Street then, I suppose, right?
Sounds solid. Josh, as far as our wandering around the town, we haven't seen anybody, right?
Yeah, so far you've only ran into Colonel Hall. He was walking around counting his steps. And
the mail guy.
Jim, the mail boy. Mailman. And then only people you've seen in buildings so far. You've never run in. And then whoever or whatever was around the house on the corner of Main and the little side street there near the cemetery. But... you haven't really ran into anybody else in town.
Yeah. The only other weapon I possess is that rifle. And I'm just debating, like, walking around the streets of this town with a rifle probably would not seem like a good idea. Yeah, I'm not going to take it.
All right.
All right. It's,
I guess on the justification, Pleasant Street, then. We chase the monster into the sewers underneath the town. Can't possibly be two of them.
All right. Well, the two of you leave the comfort and warmth of the woods house, and you step out, and the air is cold. In fact, cold enough that you can see your breath in the air, and the fog still has not let up. Now in the darkness, basically obscuring your view of farther than anything further than 10 feet in front of you is indistinguishable, but you make your way up the street. There aren't too many other lights on, you notice as you go down. You see down a side street or two that a light or two maybe on down the way, but generally the town seems to be, for all intents and purposes, asleep, even though it is still not quite that late in the day.
Well, we do know that a lot of the houses have been abandoned.
That is true. That is true. So perhaps it's just that. Certainly nothing more sinister.
Sure.
To be fair, I never turn my porch light on.
That's true. Well, and in this day and age, not all of these places, not every home would have electricity just yet, especially in a small coastal town like this. A lot of buildings, at least on the porches, would more likely be lit by lamplight, and then if anyone had electricity, it'd be the indoors. So, you make your way down, eventually passing High Street and getting towards on... I guess you haven't been down this way just yet. You do pass by one notable business instead of just residential, and the Sandy Bay Bakery is right near where you're standing now. Let me give
that to you. Yes. Yeah, we didn't go this far. We went down Pleasant the last time.
Yeah, correct. That's where you ran into Colonel Hall, and then he was walking that way. So, but eventually you come upon a nice large sign that denotes the street as Bearskin Neck.
What's that building to the right?
It is Bearskin Neck.
building
it is Yes, it's a it's basically a large like warehouse wharf building for fishermen, boathouse, and but just down the way you can see there are a few lamps on the ground. You think on the ground in the mist. You can't see too far still, obviously, but you can hear the lapping water nearby. From both sides of you, on the wharf there, and every so often, just over the tops of the buildings where the mist kind of ends, you can see the beam from a lighthouse out on one of the islands pass overhead, and hear the horn go off every so often, and ahead of you in the darkness there seems to be several lamps. At ground level in the mist.
Ahead as in to the right on the map?
Yes, to the right of you.
You want to go
check on the it ground out? Where? Like in front of the building or?
Like, no, you, like in the roadway. Like,
oh.
Oh.
In the roadway, you think in, like, again, you can't see any of these buildings or the water or anything because of the fog. But there are clearly lights at ground level, like on, at street level.
Yeah, let's go that way.
Way out ahead of you.
Okay, on Bearskin Neck Road. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, let's take a look at this. This seems weird.
As you approach, you get close, and there are several oil lamps all lit. Sitting on the ground, and amongst them are also several like small buckets of brushes and towels and a couple of stools, and there's some easels and several paintings on the easels or nearby on the ground, all just left abandoned. Several small cans of paint.
I'm gonna pick up one of the lamps.
Okay. There seems to be no people around.
Keep heading down the road, Amos?
I'm going to grab a lamp as well. Okay. Where do you want to go?
Apparently there's a trail of lamps. This seems to be where the painters kind of set up shop, but they all kind of left. See what lies at the end of this road here. Wasn't it Charlotte that was coming down to look at this kind of stuff?
Hopefully she didn't just disappear like these people might have.
Hopefully.
As you're kind of looking around at the scene and discussing where to go, I've just given you a handout of a couple of paintings. You observe a couple of paintings. The first, two boats on the sea at night, moon overhead, and very clearly no starry sky saved for one very familiar pattern to you, Amos.
Oh, the pattern that I saw in the first place we were at the dig site.
The old chapel ruins, yes.
It looked like the
exactly the same
Dippers.
Pattern. Yeah.
Was it minus
I described it as maybe the Little Dipper with some more stars off to the side, and then Sterling said, "This is not the Dipper." but yes. And then another painting is of, so the painting known as the Eye, is of a lighthouse at night as well. And in the light beam shining off to the left side, also very clearly denoted, is the same pattern amongst the stars.
I want to point that out. Like I've seen this pattern before. This was at the dig site where we all met. This was carved into one of the walls. And I believe there was another it was where the statue was at, right? Wasn't there that the stars was there too?
Yeah, so there was a plaque in the ground that Charlotte noticed and dug up underneath the pedestal, or like right in front, with that pattern on it. And then, you found it in basically kind of like just finger hold dug into the wall, like the dirt wall as well. So,
what does it mean? I'm asking.
I don't know. It's the first time I've seen this pattern was then, so I have no clue. I would imagine Mr. Sterling would know.
Did you point this out to him in Boston or in at the chapel?
Yeah, we briefly talked about it. I thought that it looked like the Little Dipper. He assured me that it was not. That was about the extent of it. And what does the third one look like?
The third is a bit more obscured. It's a watercolor painting of a sunrise over what you think is probably Thacker Island, the island off the bay that you saw coming in just before the mist started to really form. It has two lighthouses on the island, and maybe just barely, possibly the same pattern shows up in some of the white flecks that make up the clouds in the sky. Maybe not. You're not sure, especially in this light.
Now this is strange for more than just the pattern repeating in these couple paintings. Weren't all the painters here painting the barn? There's no barn in any of these paintings.
That's what we were told this whole time. They came to paint the barn. Huh.
Why the sudden change?
The focus on all this seems to be that constellation.
Right.
At least in these two. This one? I have no idea.
Well, I mean, if you squint and turn it sideways, and you can kind of see it in the clouds a little.
Is this another abstract art versus something? I don't have the time for
this. Yeah, probably. Anyways, it was just these three paintings here. There's no other easels or empty or otherwise.
Yeah, no. Just these. There's two easels. The first two paintings I gave you are sitting on the easels.
This also seems pretty. The sunrise
one is on the ground.
Like a pretty far away spot from the barn to be painting. Like, can I even see the barn from here? Probably not.
You can just make out because of the light coming from inside the barn. Okay. That where it is, and a couple of like porch lanterns that are hung at the corners. It is farther, a little bit farther down the road, at the end, just off to the right, kind of on its own little what's the term? Not an inlet, but just like a little baby peninsula sticking out into the wharf.
Should we go a little further in, closer to the barn?
I'm sure they'd definitely try to.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can get into it.
Well, I don't know if we should go that far, but yeah, let's set up.
Thank you all so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. My name is Josh Richter, and if you would like to make contact, you can find me on Twitter at The Eldritch Hour, or you can email the show at TheEldritchHour@gmail.com. And if you'd like to support the show, we have a Patreon page at patreon.com/TheEldritchHour.